while you're turning, when I began actually typing my notes today, this afternoon, I usually like to have the sermon in my mind laid out. But then when I sit down and started typing, it kind of went in a little bit different direction. So I'll still try to keep it simple and simple enough that most of us can understand it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. By the way, we just studied this on Wednesday night, so some of you are thinking, I've heard that. We just studied it on Wednesday night. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as we are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I intended to take that verse and build on it, and I'm still going to, just not quite in the same direction. When we think about past, present, and future, we tend to think only in terms of time as we know it. Even when we talk about eternity, we talk about eternity past, eternity future. Actually, there's no such thing as eternity past or eternity future, because eternity is, guess what? Eternity is eternity. There is no past, no present, no future. Our feeble minds are not capable of thinking of eternity other than past, present, and future. But it's only because our minds can't comprehend eternity. We can think about the past, we can think about the present, we can think about the future in time, but we have no comprehension whatsoever of eternity, past, present, or future, as we refer to it. Most of us know our past fairly well. Unless you're suffering from amnesia, you probably remember quite a bit about your past. Most of us know where we are presently. And some of us have plans for the future, and you know, we have plans for a normal life experience as we go forward. But I can tell you right now, I can plan tomorrow. I know my past fairly well. I know my present somewhat. I know what I plan in the future. But I really have no guarantee at all that I'm going to live another 5 seconds. So I certainly, anything I talk about the future only has to do with my comprehension or my human plans. My past, you know, it's interesting. My brother and I, we lived in the same house, grew up with the same parents. We experienced many of the same things. But when we get together and talk about the past, his memory of what happened is not the same as my memory of what happens. So even when you talk about the past that we both experience, our past can be a little foggy sometimes. We may not remember some things sometimes. My present might even be a little bit off because, you know, as we get older, our minds don't think. I think I'm standing here. I think I'm in the pulpit. But I might actually be someplace else and my mind be deceiving me. My future certainly is totally unpredictable. So I want to look for just a few moments, and this is where I took a different approach. I want to look at God's past, God's present, God's future. Then I'll come back and deal with our past, our present, and our future. Let's look at God's time and understand there is no time with God. We know that God cannot change. God is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. God cannot change. And so since he cannot change, he didn't change anything about himself when he created the heavens and the earth and created time as we know it. But in our thinking, we think of what God did in the past. We know from Genesis 1 that God created time, but he lives outside of time. As far as the Bible's concerned, God is always I was. Now, what did God tell Moses? I am that I am. In the New Testament, when Jesus was talking, he said, I am. It means I am in creation, not past tense. I am. I am in eternity. I am in the future. In fact, when John got the revelation and saw that great host of people around the throne of God, John actually saw you and me because he was looking into what we think of as future. So in the sight of God, I was called, I was, you know, sanctified, I was justified, and I was glorified even before God created the heavens and the earth. Eternity is always now. I am. Not I will be, not I was be, I am. What God planned to do, he always planned to do. And what God thought of, he always thought of, because he's not capable of having any new thoughts. Now I understand, we can't comprehend that. We can't possibly comprehend that God can never have a new thought other than what he's always thought. That goes far beyond our ability to think. But in eternity, there was God the Father, there was God the Son, and there was God the Holy Spirit. I thought that came after creation. That was in eternity past, as we refer to it. In eternity past, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, planned, and by planning it, as good as carried it out, the whole scheme of creation, the whole scheme of salvation in eternity when there was no time. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit had always planned the creation. They had always planned time as we know it. They had always, even before God created, they already had the plan of salvation. They already had all the details worked out. All of that was in what we call eternity past. Well, we know some of this. We know in eternity past, God the Father gave a gift unto his Son, Jesus Christ. And again, this is where even trying to think of it blows my brain. Before God ever created, he has always, always given Jesus Christ a gift to be his Son's present. How do we know that? And I've got a couple of verses, John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Well, when did the Father give them to him? Well, John 17, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and have kept thy word. So, and I only gave a couple of verses. God the Father, in eternity, gave God the Son a multitude of people that cannot be numbered. When Jesus Christ came, he said in John 10, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, which God the Father had given way back in eternity past. In eternity, Jesus Christ had already carried out the plan to save them that the Father had given him. How do we know? Acts 13:48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified God and the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So when were they ordained? When God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit covenanted together, and in eternity, long before creation, they covenanted together, and God said, I'm going to give you a multitude which no man can number. In eternity, the Holy Spirit was already purposed to come and bring conviction and bring those to the Father whom the Father had given to the Son. In eternity present, now that was eternity past, in eternity present, Jesus Christ was to come to earth. He took upon himself the form of a man and dwelt among men. In time, Jesus lived a perfect life. You know, the Bible talks there in John how that Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge. And, you know, how can God grow in knowledge? God already knows everything. But Jesus Christ in time became man. And as man, he endured all the things that you and I endure as far as the flesh goes. In time, Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. In time, Jesus Christ completely, totally fulfilled God's eternal plan. In fact, in John 17, Jesus, as he was praying, said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. I have finished it. When did God give him the work to do? In eternity, when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had already planned out everything. He said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. In time, Jesus Christ went to the cross to die for our sins. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 18, For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations given by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. It's already foreordained that God was going to create. It was already foreordained that, you know, that God was going to send Jesus Christ. He was ordained from before the foundation of the world, but he wasn't manifested until time came along. Having paid the full price of our sin in eternity present, he ascended back into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God. And Hebrews 10:12 says, he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, and he sat down at the right hand of God. In eternity future, Jesus Christ will be the manifestation of the Godhead, and he will rule and reign forever. He will sit on the throne of God as God. Now that's God's past, present, and future. What about you and I? And I'm going to use me because I know me better than most of you. I was born November 22nd. I was born to Carl and Betty Ellis. Did I tell you what my mom said the first time she ever saw me? Yeah, some of you know. True story. I was born at home, brother. I was born at home. So I was born, the doctor took me out, cleaned me up, brought me back in and said, Betty, here's your son. True story. The first time she looked at me, she said, that's the ugliest kid I've ever seen in my life. And it so scarred me. That's why I am the way I am today. I was scarred as a child. But I was born on November 22nd. I was born in an apartment in Summit Heights, Clarksville. And as a child, we moved from here to here to here to here to there to there to there until finally got mom and dad bought a house and we lived in that house until I married and moved away. I married on June 10th. I married a young lady from Cincinnati, Ohio named Kathy Roop, or as some people call it, Rupe. We have three surviving children. I am this tall and I weigh this much, and I currently live in Florence, Kentucky. Now that about sums up my past life. That pretty well sums up what there is about me. But what about my spiritual life? I was born to parents who were already saved before I was born. We, back then, they didn't know any better. They didn't have doctors telling them all of this stuff. I was in church literally when I was 2 weeks old on Sunday. Mom and Dad had me in church from 2 weeks old until this day, unless I was sick and physically could not go. I grew up hearing the fundamental hellfire brimstone type sermons. I grew up hearing and knowing that you're a sinner, that you're a sinner by choice, you're a sinner by birth, you're a sinner by nature. I grew up from as young as I can possibly go back. I always heard, you know, from week after week that you're a sinner. You're a sinner by nature, by choice. You are a sinner. At a very young age, God revealed himself to me. And people ask sometimes, how young can a child be saved? I heard of one a couple years ago. This lady said, my two-year-old child was just saved. I really doubt that. Because when I went on to read about it, she got her daughter to read this prayer. And as soon as 2 years old, she got her daughter to read this prayer. And mom said, praise God, you're saved. I think that might be a little bit off. I've even had people tell me that you couldn't possibly be saved as young as I was. But at an early age, very early age, God showed me beyond any doubt that not only was I a sinner from the pulpit, I was a sinner in my heart. I knew that even as a young man, young child, I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that I was lost. I knew that if I died, I would go to hell as fast as God could send somebody to hell. There was absolutely no question, no doubt. There was absolutely no hesitation. I knew beyond any doubt whatsoever that I was lost and on my way to hell. At a young age, God convicted me and made me so miserable until on August the 10th, I believe it was, Sunday morning, God saved me and I couldn't wait to tell everybody. I didn't do it. I knew enough to know that I hadn't saved myself. I knew enough to know that I wasn't good enough to save myself. I knew enough to know that salvation was not walking down the aisle, but But even as I stood back there and God had been making me miserable for weeks, when I stood back there that Sunday morning, God dealt with me so that I didn't want to resist any longer. And we could say, why not? Well, because God made me not want to resist any longer. I was perfectly happy pretty much where I was. But on that Sunday morning, God convicted me, God saved me, and I couldn't wait to tell the whole church that God has saved me by His grace. Well, I told you my past life. Told you my past spiritual life. But I've got a future life coming. And I bet if we stop and let every one of you give your testimony, you could tell me when you were born, at least most of you. You could probably tell me who your parents are. You could probably tell me, my wife and I were figuring up after we got married, I don't know, we moved, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 times in our first 5 years of marriage, same way. You could probably say, well, I lived here, I lived there, we lived there. You could probably tell me how many children. You could tell me how tall, how much you weigh. Tell me where you live. We all can say that about our physical past. If you're saved, let me rephrase that. If you're scripturally saved and not merely made a profession, you know that God dealt with you and that you saw yourself as a sinner. How do I know? And I've got it written down. If you had asked me what day of the month were you saved, well, I knew it was Sunday. But if you had asked me what month I was saved and what day of the month I was saved, I had no idea. The only reason I found out for certain is when Mom died, or actually when we put Mom in a nursing home, my brother and I were going through, I found Mom's old Bible, and inside her old Bible, she had inscribed, Wilbert was saved this day, Larry was saved this day, they were baptized this way. Because you know what? I don't remember the month and the day, but I do remember this much. And this is where I get concerned about people. My birthday is November 22nd. How do I know that? I don't remember much about it, to be honest. In fact, I don't remember anything about being born. People say, well, I don't remember the day. I don't remember the month and the day and the year. Let me ask you, do you remember what it was like to be lost? No, I've just always been saved. No, you've never been saved. I don't remember my physical birth. And you may not remember August the 10th, 1984. You may not remember the day, but you know something happened. You know that you went from being dead in trespasses and sins to being made alive in Jesus Christ. You may not know when and how, but you know something happened. I said, well, I don't remember if I'm saved or not. Then you need to find out. You need to make that certain. You need to be sure. Because your entire future rests on your spiritual condition in the past. If like I said, you don't have to know the day and the month and the week and the hour. But that Sunday morning when God saved me, I couldn't tell you if it was June or December, but I knew that Sunday morning God had dealt with me and the weight of my sin was so great that I couldn't stand it anymore. God had convicted me to the point that I simply threw up and said, God, I'm lost. Save me by your grace. And at that moment, God saved me. I know that much. I may not know a lot of things, but I know that God convicted me. I know that God showed me I was lost. And I know that when I reached the end of my rope and I had nothing else to do, no place else to go, I cried out, "Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And you know what? God saved me. And it was just as different as daylight and dark. I don't remember being saved. And please understand, I don't have X-ray vision to see your heart. But you know that you were dead, and you know that you're alive. And if you don't know that, if you don't know that once I was blind, but now I see, once I was dead, but now I'm alive, if you don't know that much, if you don't have that knowledge, you may not remember what you were wearing that day. You may not remember who was standing with you. You may not remember where you sat. But you know that you were dead and something happened and God made you alive and you haven't been the same ever since. Now, I meet a lot of people, and it's like, "Are you saved?" Well, I sure hope so. Man, I'd hate to die with nothing more than "I hope I'm saved." "Are you saved?" Well, yeah, I walked down the aisle. Well, you know, I walk down the aisle many, many, many times a week. Nothing spectacular happens walking down the aisle. But when God got a hold of me and showed me myself as a sinner, lost and on my way to hell, brother, I tell you what, it was no maybe. I knew I was lost. I knew I was lost. And I knew I was going to hell. And I resisted. Now, not everybody resists like I did. I was stubborn from birth on. I've been stubborn. But I resisted. I fought it. And one day God convicted me and showed me that I was dead, showed me that I was lost. And you know what? When God got through with me, I simply said, "Lord, I surrender. I trust you with all of my heart." And God made a difference in my life. I can't explain it. I don't know. I said, "Did you understand this? Did you understand eschatology? Did you understand soteriology? Did you understand, you know, pneumology?" Is that the right word? Close enough. I couldn't tell you what any of those things were. I didn't understand eternity. I didn't understand the Trinity. I didn't understand election. I didn't understand anything. But I knew that I was lost, and I knew that I was going to hell, and I know that God saved me by His grace. I know that, and you can't take that away from me. I may not be able to tell you my name by tomorrow. I told somebody last week, they were kidding me about getting old, and I had forgotten something, so they were really giving me a hard time about forgetting. And I said, I forget so much that I have to carry my driver's license in my pocket to see what my name is. When I get in my car, I've got my GPS program so that I push home and then I just follow her directions home. I may not remember my name tomorrow. I may not remember where I live tomorrow. But I remember the day that God saved my soul and convicted me of my sins and crushed me. I mean, He crushed me. Until I simply surrendered to His will at a young age. And how old should a child be? You won't have to tell them it's time. I know most people, you know, and they've got reasons for this, and I understand most people figure it's somewhere around 12 because that was, you know, the Old Testament, and I'll leave that to them. I think when you're old enough to understand that you're a lost, hell-bound sinner on your way to hell, and you're old enough to understand that Jesus Christ died to save you, and you're old enough to repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ, you're old enough to be saved. Some people mature faster than others. I get that. I understand that not everybody hears the same, you know, has the same opportunity that I had. Yeah, I believe you have to be old enough to understand what sin is. You need to be old enough to understand what lost is. Even if you don't know the technical term, I don't think we can put an age limit on it. I really personally don't. But I do believe and I do know this much. When God saves you, you know it. It's like if you stick your finger in a electric plug and it's wired and it's hot, you're going to know. I don't understand electricity. I probably understand, I know more about electricity than I do plumbing, but if you weren't in Sunday school, that doesn't mean anything to you. I don't understand electricity, but I know something happens when you stick your finger in that plug. I don't understand all the attributes of God. I couldn't even pronounce omnipresent, had no idea what omniscient means. But I knew that I was lost, folks, and that's what I'm trying to get across. You know you're lost. And you know when God convicts you. And you know when God saves you, because it is an experience. You go from being dead to alive. You go from being blind to seeing. You may not know anything about theology, but you know when God saves you because something happened. Well, that's our spiritual past. What about our spiritual future? Now, I don't know what God's got planned for me in the years ahead on this earth. My wife and I are, you know, discussed our future. If I can convince her to stay with me another 30, 40 years, you know, we'll die together. But just, it's fine. Oh, I thought I heard somebody. I don't know what God's got planned for me. I hope and pray that God will leave me here until I either die or the rapture comes. But you know, I said that same thing when I was pastoring up in Ohio. Next thing I know, God's done got me down in purgatory. I'm sorry, Texas. God's done got me down in Texas. I don't know what God's going to do with me tomorrow. God may kill me. He may paralyze me. He may, I mean, Alzheimer's runs in my family, both sides. I may lose my mind tomorrow. Somebody may hit me and I have a brain concussion and don't know anything. I don't know what this life holds. But whether I die and placed in the grave, or whether I'm still alive, I know that my future is promising, because one of these days, Jesus Christ is going to say, Gabriel, sound the trumpet. And Gabriel's going to sound the trumpet. Jesus Christ is going to appear on the horizon. Those which are dead in Christ are going to come out of the grave. They're going to get a brand new body, incorruptible, immortal. We which are alive are going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to get an immortal, incorruptible body. And we're going to be caught up. And we're going to meet them in the air. And we're going to spend eternity with the Lord. I know that much. I don't know much else. I don't even know what I'm going to wear tomorrow, let alone anything else. My physical life, I don't know much about the future. But I know when it comes to my spiritual life, I know God. And if I go to hell, I'm going to hell trusting Christ. You understand that? I didn't think you could go to hell. I can't. But I'm saying my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ, so that if I do, I'm going to trust in Him, or else I'm going to find out that God lied. And we know He cannot lie. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And by the way, that's not my sermon. He's not up there building a mansion for you. The mansions are already there. In my Father's house will be many mansions. Oops, that's not right. In my Father's house are already many mansions. I'm just going to make the atonement. I'm going to pay your sin debt. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I'll come again and I'll take you unto myself. Rest assured, if I drop dead in the next few minutes, and I've known of it happening, I've known preachers who were preaching and preaching and just fall dead in the floor right there. If I drop dead, doesn't matter if you know where I was born or doesn't matter what you know about my past. Doesn't matter if you know where I lived and how many kids I had. But you know this much. If I fall dead tonight, you know that I have a future in heaven with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And in Revelation, God's going to do away with time. He started time. He started time. And He's going to end time. And then we forever will be with the Lord. That's my future. I don't ever expect to win the lottery. One thing, you have to play it to win it. I don't expect to win the lottery. I don't expect to get much better looking than I already am. I don't expect to lose as much weight as my doctor wants me to. There's a lot of things about my future I don't expect to happen. But I know that my future is signed and sealed. Signed by the blood of Jesus Christ, sealed by the Holy Spirit, and I'm in heaven with the Lord if I die. Now, what about you? I can look around and see, well, most of you were born. Most of you are present. My question is not where were you born? My question is not, are you all here? My question is, were you ever born again by the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, you could be born in a mansion. I was born better than my brother. My brother was born in a shack. I mean, it was set down right on the edge of Yellow Creek. It was one room. It was just boards, you know, nailed together. One room, and I mean, it was a shack. I was at least born in the city, in an apartment complex. But I don't care where you were born. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what titles you've got. My question to you is, have you ever been genuinely saved? Was there ever a time in your life that you realized beyond any doubt that you were lost, that you were a lost, hell-bound sinner, and God quickened you and made you alive? You will die one of these days. That's a guarantee. Unless you live past the rapture, And you go into the tribulation period, you will die. I've had so many funerals over the years that I tried to start counting them the other day, and I couldn't even begin to count all the funerals. You know, when you read back there in Genesis, Adam and Eve, Adam lived 900 and something years. But what happened? He died. Oh, Enoch, the oldest man that ever lived. But he died. You read that entire chapter. Was it Enoch? It was Methuselah. Thank you. Yes. As soon as I said Enoch, I'm thinking, that's not right. Methuselah lived to be the oldest man that ever lived. But you read that chapter. They were born. They had children. They lived so many years. And they died. And they died. Folks, you are going to die. You will spend eternity somewhere. You'll either get to heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ, or you'll go to hell and burn with Hitler, Mussolini. You'll burn with the worst of the worst of the worst. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. The difference is not who you were, who you are, how much money you had, how important you were. The difference is, did you ever repent of your sins and totally, completely trust the Lord Jesus Christ to save you? If not, I urge you with everything that I'm capable of urging you with. Repent of your sins now. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about the rapture could happen at any day, and it could. But you know what? Even without the rapture, you could die any day. Can you? Don't think about this much. I figured this out one time. Two cars going down 237, speed limit's 55. One car going 55, one car going 55. They hit head on. That's an impact of 110 miles an hour. You're dead less than a second's time. That's how fast you can die. Don't count on tomorrow in time. Count on tomorrow in eternity. Father, we come. And Lord, we know a lot about our physical past. But more importantly, Lord, I know I can go back to the day, to the time that you so convicted me of my sins that I would have jumped over the pew and ran any, I would have done anything. But all you asked me to do was to repent of my sins and trust you. And Lord, as soon as I repented and trusted you, that very moment you saved me just like you promised you would. But Lord, I'm smart enough to know that not everybody here is saved. Not everybody who will watch this video is saved. Not everyone who will listen to this sermon is saved. So, Father, I pray that those who have a hope so maybe salvation will examine their life to make sure whether or not they have repented of their sins and trusted you. If they don't know, may you deal with them so that they'll know one way or the other, even before they leave here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.